Welcome to Soul Busy.
I'm Rach.
And I'm Carly,
your CEO
and COO
sisters.
We share unfiltered convo on balancing hustle with mindfulness
while running successful businesses with soul
and the real life between it all.
Hey, Carl. How you doing?
Hey, Rach. Hey, you got enough water bottles?
Well, I have like my four illegal espressos that I'm not supposed to be drinking.
Illegal?
Well, I don't think I'm supposed to have this much caffeine.
Why are you having four?
Oh, funny you should ask.
Mike?
No. Well, Mike makes me the coffee. He's my barista. But no, just, you know, life recently.
What's happening in your life recently?
Well, Carl, I'll give you a little life update.
Okay, cool.
I'm 8 months pregnant. Mm. I have two toddlers who have developed lovely life skills of the second they wake up. If Sadie wakes up in the middle of the night, it could be 3 a.m. She believes it's morning. And, you know, she's convicted by her beliefs and she will not go back to bed. So Sadie woke up at about like 4:50 a.m. and it was dark out. And she was like, I get out. And I said, okay, cool. Where are we going? And so she came into my bed. But funny enough, Lily was already in my bed.
Like she slept there last night?
Yes. At about 11:58, Lily had a dream that she had spiders crawling on her. And so she got into my bed. And of course, she's also convicted by her beliefs and would not get out.
It's a terrible, terrible night.
Mm-hmm. And she's also come to the terms where she's able to manipulate me like with lies, where she'll say, oh, I peed a little in my bed. So she knows that like I'm so tired, I'm not coming to change the sheets in the middle of the night. So she knows I'm going to be like, okay, like just stay in the bed then. So I had both of them in my bed at 5 a.m. Mike's on a meditation walk with Mookie somewhere down
at 4:50.
Yeah, he was out watching the sunrise.
What's he doing at 4:50 outside?
Having alone time, Carl. You got to take it where you can get it. You know what I'm saying? Mm. So, you know, just... I physically can't move. I'm up all night.
So peeing. You're going to have four kids or?
Hell yeah, I'm having four kids. I'm popping off, but.
At least you have kids.
I'm going to need a little break. That's funny.
Don't laugh at that.
Feels like you want to bring up a topic, huh?
No.
What's been going on in your life recently, Carl?
I am focused on right now being a gym girl and I really love it. And
I'm proud of you.
Yeah, no, I,
Can't say I haven't asked you for years to become a gym girl.
I don't know. It's so funny. Like I like your TikTok feed and like your Instagram feed is just like have really affected my life and my lifestyle. Like literally last night I sent you that guy, Danny something. I don't remember his name.
I didn't see what you said.
But I sent it to you and I literally spent my night. Like I didn't even watch TV, which I usually do. And I was just like reading all of his posts about like who the healthiest people are in this world and like what to do, like the top 10 things to do. I sent it to you, I'll send it again. But I like literally was scrolling on his TikTok and Instagram for like an hour, just like gaining insight and information about like how to be your healthiest self, which is not something I've always cared about. So I find it to be like super interesting at this point in my lifetime.
It's different to care about like being the healthiest version of yourself or being the skinniest version of yourself. I think that's always been two things you and I have like gone back and forth on, yeah. Like in terms of goals. It's like, okay, you can blast keto and, you know, do weight training and get skinny as shit, or you can also like be healthy long-term.
It's just so funny, like the different, I would say like, I don't know, decades of my lifetime, I've just believed so many different things or learned so many different things. And everything that it comes back to is that like simple is just better. Like the simplest, the easiest, the most consistent, like it's
the word... is consistent.
Yeah, no, it is.
To be honest with you.
But it's just even things that I used to believe about keto, like I don't believe that that's the healthiest diet anymore. It's super high fat. Your body needs carbs, especially if I'm working out. Like it's just not the vibe anymore. And that has been really hard for me because I've always lost the most weight from diets like that or fasting or restricting.
Carbs are demonized.
They really are. And they're honestly, I've lost weight eating carbs, especially for, you know, trying to get pregnant. It's, You can't restrict foods in that way. Like my acupuncturist is like really crazy about like if you restrict foods, you're putting your body under stress, which was really hard for me to like shift my mindset because typically 99.9% of the time, like carbs are bad. It's not about carbs being bad. It's actually just about certain carbs that you just need to avoid. Like I'm relatively now always gluten-free, which is nice. I mean, obviously sometimes I dabble in some Anne and Franz donuts, but typically I'm gluten-free.
Really? That's what tickles your dickle?
I really like those. I don't know what's been going on. What's a dickle?
I don't know. I've been saying it recently and it comes out of my mouth. I don't like it.
Yeah. So I'm just focusing on that.
You've had quite a year.
Yeah.
It's been a journey.
Yeah. To update from other podcasts that we've had from the first miscarriage, I ended up having two more. And I'm just trying to like navigate it the best that I can. And I actually have weirdly made some like great friendships with like random people that I never thought I'd be like as close with to like kind of get through. A lot of people go through that, honestly. And I think no one talks about it enough. I'm not like someone who always wants to be talking about that. I'm more on the private side, but I think when I'm ready and feel more strong on like the roller coaster of what like trying to conceive is, I'm more open to like talking about it. I look at it from a positive perspective of my body's trying to teach me something rather than, oh, I'm so miserable or, oh, this is miserable. Obviously I feel that sometimes alone in my bed, but right. I'm just striving to be the best that I can be and get through that portion of my life. Like I know it will happen. I have faith it will happen. So for anyone struggling with that, like I hope that you can have the same mindset because all we have is the faith to believe that it will happen. And I'm trying everything I can. I'm going holistic. I'm using my doctors and talking to them that are, you know, potentially doing medicated cycles. I'm not entirely sure where my path lies at this time, but right now I'm really focused on moving my body and giving it fuel that it needs to be the best that it could be.
It's a bitch. It's such a bitch.
Yeah, it sucks.
I think it's been a hard year for us too, almost from like a podcast perspective, just because it's been like, we try to be so real and honest, but sometimes life gets in the way of processing and it's just like sensitive sometimes. And talking about your personal life, like into a microphone, sometimes I think it can be hard, especially with the contrast of you dealing with so much with work, with life, trying to conceive, trying to be on this health journey. And then of course I'm putting my big pumpkin beluga whale.
Well, that's a funny,
belly in
it's
your
a,
face.
It's a great topic to bring up because being as sisters and I think with most people's attitude in life and complaining and oh, why me, blah, blah, blah. Like that whole theory, like I get a lot of questions of like, how do you feel about Rachel being pregnant? And my feelings are I'm happy for her because I don't believe that I would ever want you to go through what I go through. And I also think that we're not all in the same journey.
That's how I feel.
And I think that my journey is the way it is because of maybe decisions I've made in my lifestyle. And I'm not like blaming myself, but I'm also like, there are things I could do better to make my body healthy to have a child, which I am focusing on and have been for the past 6 months. But I don't look at you being pregnant as something that I'm sad about or mad about or that like you're on your own journey in your life too. Like we are not on the same journey. And although I wish we could have been pregnant together, obviously that would have been so funny and fun, but I'm not like mad or sad. I'm happy for you.
We were pregnant together. I think that's, you know, something.
That part sucked.
Yeah, you know, we were 4 weeks apart.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had just found out I was pregnant and it was really exciting. And then you had just found out you were pregnant and we were like freaking out. Yeah. We were about to like, you know, we would celebrate and it was a really tough day. The day, I'll never forget the day you miscarried because we went out to breakfast to get our favorite my favorite French toast. I was very excited.
Whose birthday was it? It was my birthday.
Your birthday.
Yeah, I miscarried on my birthday. Yeah, that did happen.
And we went to a playground and you looked at me and you were like, no. And I was like, no, what? What do you mean? And of course my optimistic ass is staring at you and I'm like, you're wrong. You don't know what you're talking about.
No, I did. I felt it.
And
yeah.
You were like, no. And then you went to mom's house and like there was a whole scenario and you know, it's just you miscarried on your birthday and it's like it kept getting thrown in your face over and over this year.
It's kind of cool though. It's like rebirth, you know?
I have to say.
It's kind of odd, isn't it?
You have embodied the ultimate example of, to me, what it means to be soul busy this year. Because what I respect about you is your rebound.
Yeah.
Your rebound is Michael Jordan status.
I honestly agree. I will give myself the credit.
It is like Michael Jordan elite.
It's very weird also because like I can err on the negative side of life. So like it's just like a very weird thing. I think I just grew up and realized like there's also like things in my control that I can do to like be better. And like, I'm never going to be someone who's like going to sit on the sidelines and be like, this would happen to me or blah, blah, blah. Of course I have those feelings. Of course I'm like, maybe 10%.
You've overcome some of those
feelings.
Yeah,
of course. Like maybe 10% of the time, like I am sad and it sucks. And I'll look at Joe and be like, and I feel so bad for Joe. I think that's something. And he's totally fine. And I know that. And he's been like,
Joe's tough.
So in like imperative in this journey. Like I would not be able to do it if it was not someone like him. And I feel like it's made him stronger as a person. And it's hard for the partner in the relationship too. It's not just about me. It's not
just about you. No.
And I feel terrible because, like, you know, we've been tested for this, that, and the other thing, and everything's normal, which is a big thing you see on TikTok. And honestly, TikTok has saved me in moments of being alone and feeling like I'm alone. And it's like, oh, you're not alone. Or this person had the same issue as you, and she's pregnant and had twins and this or that. Like, it has had me hold on to as much positivity and faith as I possibly can. And I have had friends come to me and be like, this happened. What do you think of this? And like, I've just been educated on the topic at this point for the past 2 years, and they've gotten pregnant and we've helped each other. And like, I'm happy for them. And like, I've been alone getting pregnant, having the miscarriages and still not succeeding. And I just, even this week, like one of my friends is like, I'm pregnant. And like, she was struggling for a little while and she deserves to be pregnant. So I've gained like kind of a community of friendships and relationships that have helped me get through it. I'm positive about it still to this day.
Well, I think it's in times of trouble and stress where we have to lean on our faith and also our spirituality and our practices, right? And that's something that you and I talk about a lot that I think is annoying. You know, like I could be probably categorized as someone who's annoying in your life when it comes to my responses to things, because I'm constantly talking about the manifestation, the language, you can't be half spiritual, like all of those types of things. And I think you've been on not only an education journey, but a spiritual journey too. And I think in times of trouble, you're tested to see how can you actually apply those things. And that's why I say you've been on the Michael Jordan rebound race of like, how can I keep bouncing back? Because you keep leaning on education. You keep leaning on the next thing you could do better. You keep leaning on the next workout, the next nutritionist, the next habit. And you're never turning to the easiest way, right? Like you're always, like there's been outs where you can be like, I could lose an extreme amount of weight by doing X. And you're like,
we can talk about that. Like I'm not against comfortable people doing GLP-1s or like taking, I don't know, getting a VSG like for weight loss. That's I'm never going to be against something that makes someone feel better in their body.
I don't hate on that at all.
At all. I think for me, like with my brain and my mindset, like I just have dealt with weight for so long in my lifetime that I just want to like be someone who lives life and is not always thinking about losing weight. So like in my way, I had to kind of transform. A lot of people talk about in like the fitness industry, it's like I have to transform kind of my brain and who I am. Like less about just losing the weight.
You're what I would like to call ascending right now. Yeah. And you're ascending to a new version of yourself, and that's not easy. But I think what's interesting about the way you're doing it is you're almost doing it the hard way.
And it's slow as fuck. Like,
and hard way. But when you think about it and you have the faith in what the future looks like, knowing that you will have children, you're doing it for your future self.
Well, people have mentioned to me, they're like, why don't you just go on a GLP-1 or why don't you just move into an IVF route or why don't you just do all of these things? And I'm like, it's not that I'm against any of those things. It's more just like, I feel like our bodies were made to have children, right? Like, and I feel like I did things that made my body, you know, not the healthiest. And I think when your body's not the healthiest, it can't create life because it can't focus on saving your life and creating a life at the same time. And I think with some of my miscarriages, like they've always been within 6 to 8 weeks, 8 weeks being the longest one that I was pregnant. It just feels like my body's kind of denying it where it's like, you're not there yet, but like trying to constantly get pregnant.
It's talking to you.
And it does get pregnant. Like, and my doctor is very strong on that. Like, she's like, you get pregnant. And, you know, some people never do. And I want you to take that positive route and being like, that's one good thing you can take out of this, you know? And if I can find one good thing, like I always thought to myself and agreed on your thoughts, like I would have this trouble. Like I always thought that about getting pregnant, or I was always nervous that this would be a struggle for me. just with my body type and the way I treated my body and the lack of working out and living a sedentary lifestyle. Like I'm not surprised, to be honest with you. I'm not. And that's the truth. Like I'm not. And it doesn't matter. Yes, you can't blame yourself and you can't regret and you can't blah, blah, blah. And it's all the bullshit.
I think you can blame yourself. No, I'm saying you can't.
I think that's what people say is like, you can't blame yourself for a miscarriage, but like, what if I could have done something better to avoid?
Or I don't look at it as like you're blaming yourself for a miscarriage.
But when I tell people about them, a lot of them say
no one knows what the fuck to say. Yeah. There's like nothing. I don't think.
It's also why I don't tell anyone. Because it's like, what are you going to say?
Yeah. I don't think it's that everybody should be looking at themselves in the mirror and be like, yeah, this miscarriage is my fault. I definitely don't.
Definitely not.
I definitely don't feel that. But I definitely feel like what you're saying is that if there's been damage done and there's more you could do, then you can look in the mirror in solidarity and say, I'm going to do that. Yeah. I think that that's just like looking into the future, not necessarily just wallowing in the present.
So to move past it all, like in... you know, explain where I'm at now is I recently was just pregnant in August. So I just miscarried around your birthday.
No, on my, literally, the day after my birthday.
So I just had a normal period, which I'm excited about because usually it takes like a longer period of time and then we'll try again. Like I'm never going to stop trying.
Yeah.
And I do feel stronger. Like every time I've gone into a pregnancy, I do feel like stronger, more healthy, more ready, more educated. And I mean, what more could you ask for?
I think that there's a lot of strength too in you saying this out loud, like into a microphone right now. And I think that a lot of people are going to appreciate your honesty because I think it's really hard to say that. And let's all collectively, everyone that's listening to this, ask our spirits, guides, and angels to collectively support Carly because, you know, she needs support right now and she's going to move forward. She's going to move through this and we're all going to celebrate with her. And it's going to be so...
I'm honestly not worried.
It's so exciting. I have to be honest with you. I'm not worried either.
It's just I'm not worried. And I think moving into this too is like relationships have really changed my life this year. Like I made a friend. Everyone knows I made a friend at my spin class who taught these spin classes. And I like literally fell in love with her. And I'm obsessed with her spin class. And it changed my life like truly. And it's not even just about spin class actually. It's about working out and feeling good.
Yeah.
And like listening to loud music and like...
vibing out,
moving your body in such a way. And it's so funny. Like she's so much healthier or like appearance wise looks. And I help her with food and she helps me with exercise. And like, we teach each other things and Joe thinks it's like the funniest thing, but you have to understand like my husband works a lot and he works nights and we don't see each other. And I never put emphasis on like other relationships in my life that would be important to me.
Yeah.
And, It really actually is. And it's super funny that because I usually am like, don't talk to me. I always say to her, I'm like, it's just like, it's super weird. Like, I really don't like friends and I don't want new ones. And she's like, she like is like, I don't care. Like, we're best friends and like we're going to the gym together. And she'll text me and be like, what are we doing Thursday? What are we doing Friday? As in going to the gym or like, you know, getting a healthy meal or something. And it's actually changed my life. I'm obsessed with her. You know who you are.
I think that... later in life, friendships are a funny thing.
I've never thought I would have them.
They're a weird. It's actually when I was 29, I got a later in life friendship too. And I had this mindset where I was like kind of closed for business on new friends.
Me too.
Not
because I'm a douche actually. It's because I don't want to explain my life.
There's
tired.
A lot to catch up on.
I don't want to tell you about my, like what we do. It's just like, if you or know how you know, I think. I don't care. Like,
exhausting.
Yeah, it's exhausting. But then when you find someone who actually matches your wavelength and your energy, you're like, wait, I actually really like you.
No, and it's funny. It's almost like meeting a man later in life or, excuse me, a spouse later in life where it like everything kind of
escalates
quickly.
Joe thinks I'm
quickly.
Cheating on him. He's like, are you okay? And I'm like, no, like, I don't know what to
you're
tell
like,
you.
Joe, I like women now.
Yeah.
I think that in general, though, it's sort of like it's interesting to meet a friend later in life because you're established in both who you are a little bit more. So like that, when that happened to me too, the other person too that I'm talking about looked at me and was like, I kind of thought I was closed for business. I was like, I was closed for business. And then all of a sudden I was like, I think you're my best friend. Like, it's I think you're one of my best friends. And it was like a spiritual connection. It's actually quite beautiful. And I totally understand.
It's so funny too, because like, I think like day 2 weeks into the class, I went up to her and I was like, I had a miscarriage and I want you to know that your class changed my life. Like I randomly said that to her. We weren't even friends at this point. And she's like, oh my God, thank you so much. And then we followed each other. It was super weird. But as we became friends, and like, honestly, not many people know about this part of my life. And I told her, her responses are like the responses I was looking for. Like you right. can't, like she is always like, you can't change what you did in the past, but you can change what you do now. And just like her responses and her answers. And it's just like, yeah.
You know what's interesting about her and you and people who get through hard things? I think there's a common denominator of people who do hard things all the time.
Yeah.
I actually even mean like a spin class, right? Like yeah. a spin class is hard. It's challenging your mind. You're up, you're down, you're working through it. You're drip sweat. You're tired. Your voice in your head is talking to you saying stop. Mike and I have this conversation a lot, like where it's like, it's more important on the days you don't feel good to go do the workout and not stay in bed than the opposite.
I agree.
Those types of people that continuously and consistently have the habit of working through hard things, I think tend to have that mindset yeah. and it's a very healthy mindset to have.
I agree.
And I think it's really important to exercise that muscle of your mind.
Yeah. Like, you know, me and Joe are 30 and 32. And I like last Saturday we were both home and we're like, what the fuck are we going to do? Or it was Friday. We're like, what are we doing today? Like we were like, we had nothing to do. And like, I'm like searching. I'm like, this is where I would get sad. Cause I'm like, I wish I had a child because I'd be like taking care of my child and walking right. my child.
Or this
and
is where you come.
I'm like,
mine.
I'm fucking bored. Yeah. Like I, whatever. So we get up, we take a walk, we do something fun. We could have gotten takeout and been like, you know, getting fat food, but we like
duck sauce.
Yeah, 100%. But we made a really healthy meal. We went and saw his, our nephew, and like just did something wholesome. And then the next day I worked out and like I felt better. Like I could catch myself being like,
yeah, you can't stay in the lows.
Yeah, like I could catch myself being like, okay, I'm like negative. And then I was like, I thought I was in a cycle. Like we tried this month. And I'm like taking frantic pregnancy tests and like yeah. buying them on Amazon and they're coming to my house. And I'm like, he's like, oh, another Amazon package.
I wonder what it was. I saw that you were ordering the pregnancy yeah, test on my card on Amazon.
They were your card. They were. I felt like you deserved to buy them, honestly. It was
yeah,
just like,
sure, I'll buy
you.
This round. Yeah. Carly is full. Carly's my Amazon. It's Carly's Amazon.
That's not true.
My credit
That's
cards
not
are
true.
On Amazon. Carly just, she's like, yeah.
Whatever.
No, you're allowed.
It's sister friendship.
You're allowed.
But yeah, I think this can't go without noticing that relationships are just also important in this,
I agree.
In this moment. And I have to say, Joe and I have never been better or happier or like in sync. And I got him doing some of the classes at Lifetime too. He loves the Alpha Strength class. And I just feel like we're in like a nice zone together.
It's funny, the person that I'm talking about that I had like a later in life friendship, I remember I had what I had thought was, I think, was a chemical pregnancy at the time. And I remember...
Oh, yeah.
I, like, bled out at a wedding.
Oh, I remember.
Down my leg. And, like, had a, like, really weird experience in Montauk. I'll never forget it.
I don't think that was chemical, because I remember what came out of you.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Let everybody know.
Yeah.
I have no idea what it was. It was just a super weird experience while trying to conceive. And whatever it was, I had thought at the time that's what it was. And it took me a year to get pregnant too. It's not like I was just like, boop, here I am. Like it was in the middle of COVID. I was high stress. I don't know if I got the timing wrong or if my body was in a state of shock or if I was just eating so much pizza, I couldn't even function. Like, I'm not sure what it was. But I remember I looked at that person that I'm referencing and I said, I think I had a miscarriage over the weekend. And I was like, I'm good. And she was like, you know, it's a sign of spiritual soundness to be able to accept that what happened to you is part of the journey and to move through it and forward. And I'll never forget that response because I hate the people that wallow in the sadness of yeah. the moment. I love the people that look at me and are like, what are we doing next?
Yeah.
Let's move forward. And again, I'm not saying that you don't have downs and that you don't cry in your bed.
No, I do.
I know you do. And I know it's hard. You've cried in my arms. It's not to say this is an easy process.
It's not. I think it's just a different perspective if someone going through it could give. Like,
yeah.
And or someone who had one. Like, it's like they're so common and you're not taken seriously because until you have three, that's how common it is, right?
Three is fucked up.
Yeah.
It's just fucked up, like an up and down.
I have to be honest with you, people have 12.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like, no, I know. And I see that and I'm like, oh, I never want that to be me. And I yeah. feel bad for that person. And like, of course I don't want that
it's
to be
a
me.
Bitch, I think what's interesting about the process being on the other side of it is I've gone through now two complete pregnancies and I'm at the end of my third, is there's the phase of trying to conceive where you're like very focused on getting pregnant and getting past,
you can't see anything
12
else.
Weeks. There's also other phases, which is like getting to the gestational diabetes test and walking and movement and functioning and mindset. Because the thing is there's never, I always say motherhood starts when you're trying to conceive, because you can't ever let go of the worry.
Yeah.
That worry carries with you to the second that they breathe the air of life. And you're like, are they breathing?
Yeah.
Are they purple? Are they healthy?
Well,
are they well? What's their Apgar test? Yeah. What's their oxygen level? Is their foot good? Do they have five toes? I mean, like, it never ends.
I really hope they have five toes.
You hope, but you know, like, do they have a cleft palate? Like, how's their brain?
What's funny on that conversation though is like, for me, like I did struggle with like PTSD from, so the first one was definitely a chemical pregnancy for me, and the other two were like longer term like miscarriages where like I actually had like something full to pass.
Yeah.
And I can't remember.
Welcome to my brain.
I literally can't remember. Oh, I know what I was going to say. Okay. I think I was blocking it. My PTSD. The first pregnancy, it was my first, so I was a little nervous and I was like, okay, like, what is this?
Wait, I thought it was three and a chemical.
Two and a chemical. So three total.
Okay.
And the second one, I was like confident, like I had a chip on my shoulder and it, like it did better, but like I still was worried. But the third one, I was so worried, like I couldn't control myself. Yeah. Like it was like so bad. Like, it was like absolutely like I like was going crazy, buying 900 tests, testing every second, comparing the lines.
I remember.
And what's weird is going into the next one, when I do get pregnant, I actually feel a sense of calmness, peaciness, or a sense of peace, which I've never felt. So I'm wondering, you know, maybe if that has something to do with it too, which would be interesting. I'll let you guys know about the outcome. But yeah, my mental state was not good in the last one. I knew that for a fact.
Yeah. I mean, I think one thing I'll say to that is, again, I've said to you before, you can't be half spiritual, right? So I can't believe in manifestation and the power of language and the power of faith and not agree that I think that mindset you had going into that, I don't know if I think it was intuitive or if I think it was an underlying manifestation that was left over, but I do agree with you even saying out loud, I'm going into this next pregnancy calm, peaceful, solid, confident. To me, I already know there's something better there.
Yeah, and I also think it's all like, I mentioned this to you and Lauren yesterday, and I was like, I've spent over $3,000 like on TikTok.
Same.
Yeah. Honestly, maybe 6,000. I don't know. I don't care.
Okay.
On holistic professionals of like, I just want to like get their opinion. And like the last one that I've been working with took like a holistic blood panel that was separate from what I do with my doctors and like look deep into my blood. And it was just super interesting to have someone do that and like see what they came back with. We also did a toxin test. I haven't gotten that back yet, but it's just really interesting. Like you got to take matters into your own hands too. Like I'm not against what my doctor's saying. I'm just saying, I think your body has natural pathways that it needs to solve too. Like maybe there's, you know, a deficiency in something or like, I needed to know more information rather than just like checking my hormones to see if they're normal.
Yeah.
That just wasn't enough for me. And it is a lot. Fertility is a lot about nutrition and like how you treat your body and movement and walking. Like I have learned so much about insulin and like your blood sugar and why it's so important to keep it stabilized.
Well, what I was getting at before too is like the health of the mother is the health of the baby.
It is.
And I, you know, that's really hard when you're challenged by not feeling well.
Yeah.
You know, like I joke that Lily's made of McFlurries, you know, like in my first try, like of
she might be
yeah. In my first try, like of both girls and this girl, you don't feel well. Right. Yeah. And so when you don't feel well, shit kind of goes out the window. So I do think it's important that foundation of who you are is good. And then, you know, at the end, second try is kind of like a joke. You know, everyone, like, you just kind of coast. Third try, like, my body is being physically tried. You're right,
tired
now.
Tired and hungry.
I'm in pain. Yeah. No, I'm in pain. I have pressure all the time. I'm physically, like, unwell. And I'm trying just every minute of every day to just, like, this morning I got stuck putting my pants on. Like, I'm literally not kidding. I was alone upstairs. I couldn't finish putting my pants on. I couldn't reach. I couldn't breathe. And I couldn't get it over my leg. Somehow Mike had just randomly came upstairs at that moment and was like, are you stuck? And I was like, I am stuck at this time. I can't get my pants on. He was like, let me put them on for
you. You're going to need your pants, Rachel.
I'm literally sitting there, no underwear, like in his face, just like, I need help putting my pants on. And it's just those little moments that you realize, like, it's hard. Then delivery is also another moment where you need to be able to perform an Olympic sport, right? Where, like, your body actually needs to perform. I think what's interesting about delivery is only you can do it. Yeah. And that's like a kind of a fucked up mental thing. It's a little claustrophobic in that way.
Ew, I don't like that.
Well, you don't think about it because, you know, no one ever talks about that side of it. It's a beautiful thing, but it is also a moment where everyone in the room is looking at you and your vagina's in the air.
That's terrible.
And everyone's like, okay, now perform. And you're like, what? And you're like, could someone help me? Like, I'm like, I've always had help with everything. I'm like, could somebody help? No, no one can help you with that part. My point is, mental strength takes you through the whole pregnancy, but then all of a sudden you get this heated, weighted, wet human breathing life that comes out of your vagina and it's slapped on your chest. And then
go home.
And then you're put through the mental strength of caring for that.
Yeah.
I think the point is what you're working on and what you're doing will carry you through your motherhood for the rest of your life.
And I know that's like a worry now because you're there, but like, that's just like the least of mine.
No,
I'm not saying in that way. I'm just saying, like, I can't even think when I have been pregnant, I do laugh. I'm like, oh my God. And then you have to deliver this thing that's inside you.
Your brain can't even get there yet.
No, literally I can't. Like, I'm like, oh, that would be really great for me right now.
My point to you though, is that when you build mental strength, you are building it for all of those moments.
Well, no, I agree.
It will take you through.
I think we were never taught a lot of these things about motherhood, about getting pregnant, about a healthy body for pregnancy.
How about a healthy period?
I would have loved to have been taught more about a healthy period, to be completely honest with you. And I would have loved.
I think the system is seriously broken. Education.
All we're taught is you don't want to get pregnant.
All I was ever understanding was that how easy it was to get pregnant. Yeah. Like, use a condom, get on birth control, like, be careful.
And it's not about fat or skinny or overweight. Like,
or healthy.
People who think are helping me had mentioned to me, they're like, there's like 700 pound women who get pregnant and are totally fine. And I'm
who the fuck has said that to you?
Just people. And I'm like, that's,
oh my God, that is like, I would literally twist their nipples off.
I'm like, you think I'm skinny? Thank you so much. Thank you for telling me I'm not 700 pounds. It's not just about weight. It's about so many other things. I think I had to learn that as I went through, because I've just blamed that my whole life. I'm like, it's my stomach. It's 100% the fat that I have in my stomach.
I personally also think that with that stomach comes mental breakdowns that you need to like break down and rebuild.
Yeah.
And that's what I think you're doing right now. Yeah. So I commend you for your honesty. I commend you for the journey that you've had this year. It's been an interesting year in the sense there's been a lot of highs and a lot of lows.
Yeah.
It's been very whiplashy. I'll say that. And I think at the end of the
day, all is well, y'all.
It's not always butterflies and rainbows and unicorns.
It's definitely not. And I think it will happen. I don't know.
It will. And I think, you know, like there's also today we launched on Revolve.
Yes, we did.
Today we launched on Revolve.com. And this year we launched on Ulta. And you know, you and I have done a lot of things this year with our team that have been like major accomplishments. We've gone to New York City to do shoots and had an appearance on a TV show. And
well,
like,
I think the
grew a lot. And
the part of that is that life goes on, sadly, and happily. Like there's both parts of that feeling where it's like the world keeps spinning.
Well, it's kind of funny, like soul busy is the contrast of it all. You find your soul, you have your busy. How do you keep your soul in the middle of the busy?
And we're all dealt different cards that we have to fucking deal with. And I think this is mine right now. And
you know what's interesting about the dealt different cards thing is I've always said this to myself. I don't know why this has been like a self motto. When I think it was because when I had to leave college, I was like, felt kind of cool that I was like working with Alexa.
Yeah.
But my friends were all still like sitting in class. And so I like, there was this moment where I was like, oh, it's really cool that I'm doing this first.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like I had this weird like
chip thought. On your shoulder.
A chip on my shoulder, but I was like, this is awesome. Right. And then that all kind of like fell apart. Right.
You're like, I'm a loser.
And then I was like, I fucking suck. And I always had said to myself, just because someone does something first does not mean it's better.
Yeah.
And I don't know why that's like just been a comforting thought my whole life, like a stoic thought. It's like, it doesn't matter what happened first. It just matters that it happens and that you remain faithful. It will happen.
Yeah, no, I believe that. I think we all have, I mean, I've been the girl who's like timeline for life. Like I want to be on this timeline at this age. I want to be engaged right. At this age. I want to be married at this age. I want to have kids. I'm sure everyone feels that way.
Sometimes you just got to flow.
Sometimes. Yeah. And I still feel that like every time it changes, I'm like, yeah, but now by this time, it will be this time.
Well, you keep kind of reiterating.
So I'll just keep
it's like the
it.
Second you find out you're pregnant, you're like, what's the zodiac sign? What's the delivery date? What's the sign? What's the compatibility?
It's crazy. It is. Now I'm like, I don't care. Give me
it's
17 boys. It's soon. It doesn't matter.
It's Carly really wants girls because I have girls. Well, apparently I have.
No, it's not because of you. I just like prefer girls over boys.
I never thought that way though, personally. Yeah. Like mom always said boys were easier. Think
boys are like snotty.
Like no, boys are really delish. Boys really like their mom.
You don't have a boy.
I know that from my friends.
You just made that up.
No, Nicole tells me that boys are boy mamas.
Yeah, but like you don't have a boy. Shut the hell up.
I'm gonna have a boy one day. Once my vagina recovers.
Have your three girls first and then call me.
I'm gonna be fine.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be fine. Okay. I will be fine. All Everything right. is fine.
Okay, cool.
It's fine. It's great. No, you know what it is? It's just motherhood goes through phases. That's really what it is. It's
it's tough.
It's very funny and interesting to listen to. Have you ever seen that video, that meme where it's like all the different phases of parenting? It's like the teen parents are looking at the toddler parents being like, it's like they're all laughing at each other.
I think I've seen that. And it's but like, honestly, I love like, I'm like, peace out. Leaving your children, I'm like, you handle them now.
It's exhausting.
Yeah, no, good night.
It's a beautiful chaos of exhaustion.
Well, something about girls that I've learned, though, is like they are very opinionated and like your especially
my girls.
Yeah, they're like, if you open the jar of peanut butter the wrong way, like you're fucked.
Lily this morning.
No, you're fucked.
Didn't like the way that I had lifted her into the car. And so she had to reenact it. Until she was pleased with the way that it had gone down.
No.
They are so edible, so cute, and absolutely convicted by their wants and their needs. I mean, I can't ask that they're not because I respect that. Like, yeah. I do. I respect it. Like, I mean, I'll tell the story. I'm sick over it. I don't think I told you this. But, like, the other day we went to go buy a present for my nanny for her birthday at Anthropology.
I was there.
I'm telling the story to the public.
I thought you said you didn't tell me.
No, I didn't tell you the second half of
oh,
it.
Oh.
And Sadie was absolutely convicted by this rainbow necklace when I looked at the price tag, I almost swallowed my tongue. It was $50. And something came over me, I bought it for her.
You can't buy a $50 necklace for a two-year-old.
Look at me right now. That was the biggest mistake. She lost it. It's gone. I've been looking for it since I got home. I've told everybody about it. I literally bribed Mike with whatever I could bribe him with to go find the necklace for me because it bothered me so much. The necklace is gone. I don't know if the dog ate it or if she threw it off the balcony, but
Rachel,
it's gone.
You're so annoying.
It's gone. And it's just, I have to surrender.
Did you ask her?
Oh, I asked her. I asked Mike. I asked.
What'd she say?
I don't know, Mama. I don't know, Mama. She's like, yeah.
Blame yourself for that.
I blame myself. Yeah, I fully blame myself.
This was your fault.
I fully blame myself. No, yeah. I mean, I think every era has its challenges. Every single morning is a challenge and every single night is a challenge. Bedtime is a challenge, you know, and I don't ever want to complain either because
I don't think you are.
In contrast, it's like you're going through it too.
But I think that's kind of like my point though. Like everyone has their
moments.
Their shit that they're going through at this time. This is mine. That's yours. Like,
the world has felt kind of heavy recently.
I think to be a person in this world and like to compare that your shit's worse than my shit or blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah, maybe yours is heavier that day or feels really hard that day. But I think everyone is just trying to live the best that they fucking can.
Yeah.
And that's all we need to.
But at the end of the day, I do think there's ways to make that easier.
I agree.
I really, really believe that in my soul, like from the depths of my soul, is that like what you say to yourself in your head, the language you use, the practices you have, like there is not a week that goes by when I'm in the depths of shit of motherhood and like running businesses and exhaustion that I don't do certain practices that bring me back. Yeah. And I think that that is very important.
Well, this guy that I was telling you about, I'll resend it to you, but he, like the way he puts things out, he was like, go for a walk. Don't bring your phone. Don't bring your AirPods.
I think phones are very toxic.
And don't bring anything. I don't remember what he said. And he was like, and then use that as your medicine.
Yeah.
To live like a fuller, happier life when you're feeling down. And I just think it's so funny. It's like, we forget that those things are so important to our life. And honestly, that was never something I thought of just because A, I didn't care. I'm like, oh, I'm going to go watch Bravo TV. It's not that I still don't do those things. I think it's just like, I don't know.
No, there's a time and a place for a TV show.
I feel differently about it now. Like it's like last night I had dinner by myself. Joe was at work and then I just went outside and did like a short walk like by myself. And I brought my phone and I was like, why did you bring your phone? And then
it's a toxic habit.
It's super weird. I'm just trying to catch myself in those moments and parenthood just be better every day.
You notice how often you're on your phone too. Like, cause my phone broke this week. Instead of putting soap in the bathtub, I put my phone. That's where I'm at. And I watched my phone just sit at the bottom of the bathtub. And I was so pregnant and full. I actually couldn't even reach the phone to get it out. Yeah. And so finally I got it out and it's gone. It was gone for 3 days. I couldn't even get a new one. And so I lived without a phone for 3 days and I watched myself. I watched how many times I had the inclination to reach for it.
Yeah.
And how many times I wanted to like check the dopamine rush of like my Instagram likes or like a TikTok. Was it going viral?
Yeah.
And I wanted to puke a little bit at how much it was. And to be honest with you, I will also admit now that I have it back, I found myself last night, like I had gone from the toilet to the bed and I was like making the bed and I found myself like watching a TikTok while I was making the bed. And granted, it was like my form of news. Like it was some life updates that were like, you know, happening like with current events. And I wanted to be informed and I was going to bed and I don't like to watch the news, but I didn't like my distraction and lack of presence. And I thought that it was a bit toxic of me. I'm trying to watch that.
And I'm even saying like lack of presence with myself.
Oh yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I know. But like sometimes I'm saying I'm maybe not present at the dinner table or like I'm like scrolling while me and Joe are eating dinner. It's like, I don't know. I feel like there's just small things in life that I need to get back, or I actually honestly have been like doing that. And I want to continue to do that. Cause when we're on our deathbeds, looking back at our life, I don't want to think about how many times I was like, you know, scrolling on my phone at times when I shouldn't have been.
I think that like the other day when we were all on the Cape, I noticed like it was the end of the day and like me, Mom, Michael,
all of you, Mike, on your phone. Yeah.
I looked around, everyone in the room was on their phone.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that we weren't interested in each other. I think what happens is that the day gets busy and then at the end of the day, everyone's just kind of chilling on the couch and like it's fun to doom scroll. I get that. But it is like also terrible because I do think it's like we care so much about these people. We love them so much. They're our family. And then it's like, I agree with you. I think back to or I think ahead to my deathbed and I'm like, was I just on my phone like my whole life? Like it's terrible.
Yeah.
You definitely need to take the breaks. It's super important to be on your phone too. Like we have to work. We have to answer to people. I'm having a contraction right now. Ugh. Little Braxton Hicks.
Hold it up.
Ugh, it's not that. It's just, you know.
Yeah. I think to end on that too, like just to make life feel. You good?
Yep.
And we are having contractions on the podcast.
Having a Braxton Hicks, not the same.
I wouldn't know.
You'll find out soon.
I think to like, you know, have this come to an end, I think something that I try to focus on too is like new things or exciting things or like planning a day to, you know, go pumpkin picking with you or.
Are you going to come?
I don't know. Maybe. I'm going to have to think about it. But because well, it's
I got
far.
Paint. I got paint too.
It's just far.
It's so far. You need pumpkins too.
But I looked at Joe because he's off this Saturday and I was like, let's take the dog somewhere new and like go for like a long walk. And
Mike and I did that this weekend. We took
we're going
to a
Barcelona
park.
Wine bar.
Oh, I love Barcelona.
You want to come?
When?
Saturday.
No, you I can't. Don't have, I can't.
Yeah, I was like, what? You can't come.
Yeah.
I don't know. Try to remember that life has also good things to offer when you're going through it.
And that, I don't think ups and downs will ever stop.
Yeah.
I don't think that they'll
ever stop. I
think
if you try to remember, though, that they're in the shit times, that there's still opportunities to be positive. Then
there's
I think
beauty
get,
in it all.
You can get through it. But
there's beauty in it all. I commend you. Rock on. I commend you, Carl.
Thanks, y'all.
You've been doing great. I'm proud of you. And support you through it all. Love you.
Thanks for listening. Rock out.
Over and out.